The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. This may very well be the most important news cycle of the 21st century, at least these early days of the 21st century. So we're following a lot of developments. Kamala Harris just spoke at the White House. We are also hearing that there's been some sort of a mandatory meeting with all White House staff. We're going to keep you updated on that. The information is now, the big question is whether or not President Biden will actually be stepping down from office. So we're going to keep you posted, updated on any sort of breaking news developments that are happening here. And understand this, because there are so many big stories to talk about. They are all connected here, ladies and gentlemen. There is a connection, a tie between all of the things that are happening. And understand that one of the most important stories we need to be discussing is the situation with the Secret Service and the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. The hearings are underway. We're not getting any information at all. And the Republicans, and hear me on this, a Secret Service director is not resigning. She is not being fired. That's not going to happen. She refused to answer any questions at today's hearings, period. So the worst possible thing for the Republicans can do is to come out and say, well, we held the hearings, she said nothing, and we've got to move on. No, that's a load of hooey, because right now the Republicans do have an option, and that option is to shut down the government, shut down all spending, all funding, until we get answers to what happened on Saturday, two Saturdays ago, in Butler County, Pennsylvania. Again, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to talk about the situation with President Biden yesterday. And many of you getting this news as you are coming out of church. And I just have a very simple question. Who is actually running the White House right now? Who is actually in charge of the federal government? Because it's not Joseph Robinette Biden. This guy is back in Delaware. And honestly, folks, we don't even know if he is alive right now. We have no knowledge of that. Now, I want to take you back to last Wednesday when word came down all of a sudden after all the bad polling data that Joe Biden had a raging case of the coronavirus. And during the day, though, he was wandering around. He was meeting people, going into that Mexican restaurant in Nevada, shaking hands with everybody. Just he was a super spreader, if we are to believe that he actually had the Rona. So then all of a sudden word comes out that Biden has got the virus. The next thing you know, we see him disembarking from Air Force One. And remember, we talked about this where it was like a slow motion as he just walked down the steps. And it's just like, geez, Lou, what's going on there? Then Joe Biden couldn't even get into the presidential limousine. The beast, literally the Secret Service, had to hoist the guy up and into. And if you look at the video, it's sad, but it's sort of humorous. It looks as though when they shoved him in, his face just planted on the side of the window. He did not look well. Or a lot of people thought maybe this is maybe he's faking it. So now we've got Biden. That was last Wednesday. Joe Biden has not been seen in public since last Wednesday. So we don't know if the guy's alive or not. So then yesterday, out comes this document. Biden makes the announcement on X, which, by the way, that's very strange. This statement was not posted on the White House website. It was posted on X. There was no White House stationery, nothing affixed to it from the official office of the President of the United States of America. Now we understand that someone on the staff helped write this thing. We also, when you look at the signature, that is not Joe Biden's signature on this document. It's just simply not. Also, there was a line underneath it. Joe Biden never signs his name with a line. So it makes you wonder if, in fact, Biden, if he was, you know, incapacitated, maybe somebody was holding his hand as he scribbled his name. But that does not look like anything like a Joe Biden signature. And there are plenty of comparisons out there on social media. And there are other issues here. First of all, up until yesterday at 1:45 in the afternoon, Joe Biden was in this race. He was in it to win it. The staff, everybody was on board the campaign. At 1:45, boom, the tweet comes out. And that's when the entire staff learned about all of this. Nobody knew. As a matter of fact, we understand that it was the White House chief of staff who was contacting cabinet members. Now, this is interesting. It wasn't Joe Biden calling his cabinet, which, by the way, hasn't met in about a year. It wasn't Joe Biden making those phone calls. It was the White House chief of staff. Why is that? Something of this significance. Why wasn't the president making telephone calls? Why wasn't he alerting people within his own administration, his inner circle? What was that all about? So now you've got a situation where you have this document that was posted on X, which, by the way, most Americans are not on X. They're on Facebook. They get their news from other places. So why would you select X and post something like this? Then CBS News comes out, and CBS News has a report, and they're quoting Frank Biden, the president's brother, and CBS News is reporting. Well, let's listen to this report, cut 26.
Younger brothers, and here's what he told us. He said, "I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero. Country over self. It sounds corny in our cynical political environment, but he nor I are cynical. The goal remains the same: defeat Trump and continue the work that Joe has done. My hope is that our party rallies around this heroic act." We asked him whether he feels that his brother's overall health and vitality played a major role in this decision, and he says, "In my humble opinion, absolutely." So a member of the president's family now confirming that the president's health was indeed a major factor in this decision and calling his brother a hero for making the decision to pass the torch to Kamala Harris.
So, Nancy, sorry, can you clarify that the family is saying his health was or was not a factor?
He's saying that, in his humble opinion, yes, the president's health and vitality played a considerable role in his decision. It's important to note Frank Biden is not speaking for the family writ large. This was simply a conversation between CBS News and Frank Biden. Unclear how much input he had in this decision, but he says that he believes that his brother's health did play a role, and he says that the goal remains the same: to defeat Donald Trump.
Well, that is notable, because to date, the family, the White House, the establishment has rejected the premise that there was anything that was challenging the president's mental acuity or his health, and that all these accusations were baseless, that it was just age and a few, you know, difficult nights like he had on the debate stage. So that is a change in message.
Well, a huge change of message. And also, Frank Biden insinuates that Joe Biden is on his deathbed and may not have much longer to be with us all. So the family came out, and they're pushing back, and they're pushing back by saying and reminding everybody, well, you know, that's old Frank, and he's an alcoholic. So they just throw their people under the bus, that family. Jeez, aloo. So now we have an official member of the Biden family, the president's own brother, saying that that Joe may not have much longer to live. My question is, who is running the country? Did Joe Biden actually write that letter? We now know that he didn't. We now know it was some sort of a staffer in the White House who wrote that. So does Joe Biden, when he woke up this morning, if he is still alive, did Joe Biden actually know that he is pulling out of the race? But here's a question, and President Trump asked this earlier, who is running the country? Who is calling the shots? So now there is a movement afoot within the Republican circles, and they say that Joe has got to go. If Joe Biden is not mentally sound enough to run for re-election, and as the family just said, he is clearly in an incapacitated state, then should he resign from the presidency? And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen. It would certainly give Kamala Harris an opportunity to step foot into the Oval Office. The question is whether or not that is a good thing. Are we better off having a vegetable as a president as opposed to Kamala Harris? Why do I have that song? What's the song? I get on my knees. Why do I have that song in my brain right now? I do not know. Anyway. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is a fascinating story. And ladies and gentlemen, what we are watching here is a bloodless coup being conducted by the Democrat Party. You know, they go out there and they accuse Donald Trump of being a threat to democracy. And what's just happened over the past couple of days here is that you've got Democrat Party leaders and activists that are coming out, and they are now disenfranchising the 13 million people who voted for Joe Biden in the primaries and the caucuses, if you will. That's what a threat to democracy looks like. We are in the full-blown stages of a coup. The United Nations, ladies and gentlemen, in some cases like this, the United Nations would send in peacekeepers. That's what we're looking at right now. This is nothing more than a coup. They are taking out Joe Biden. They're installing Kamala Harris. But hear me on this. It's not going to be Kamala Harris. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy earlier today said what I'm about to tell you, and I'll explain why in just a moment. It's going to be Michelle Obama. That's who it's going to be. But they're holding their fire here, folks. And here's the reason why. Barack Obama has not come out and endorsed Kamala Harris. Neither has Chuck Schumer. Neither has Nancy Pelosi. Now, ultimately, they have the power because the big dollar donors are in their pocket. So they're going to hold off until the convention, all right? And that's when they're going to make their move. Now, keep in mind, the convention's coming up in Chicago in August, and they're hoping for as little time as possible on the campaign trail. There will be no debates. There will be none of that. The Democrats are going to shove Michelle Obama in the faces of the American people. Now, here's the challenge. Will Kamala Harris be running as a black woman or an Indian American woman? She can't do both. She thinks she's going to be able to. But if you've got Michelle Obama in the race, you've got Michelle Obama, black woman, against Kamala Harris. Oh, she's that Indian American chick. That's how they're going to frame this. But it is going to be ugly, and there's going to be a lot of political blood spilled here. The question is, if it is going to be Michelle Obama, can Donald Trump beat that force? And I am telling you, and hear me on this, we will need every single Republican alive voting on Election Day to make sure that doesn't happen. 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls through the show. 901-260-5926. We've got Congressman Andy Biggs. He's going to drop by. Also, Congressman Michael Cloud was on the House Oversight Committee. He was one of the ones asking questions of the Secret Service Director. We're going to get into that debacle coming up in just a little while. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share some information with you. Charlie Kirk is getting some intel from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. All right, so, and this ties into something that Laura Loomer, who a lot of people discount as not being credible, but the interesting thing about Laura Loomer, as wild as the things are, the scoops that she gets from people, all of them turn out eventually to be true and accurate. So I say that because there may be something going on here. So look, let's back up. It was July 5th when Laura Loomer reported that President Biden had some sort of a medical emergency on board Air Force One. And it was, look, that reporting triggered everybody. I mean, Reuters, everybody put out a fact check. They're saying no evidence that Biden had a medical emergency. Even a lot of conservatives were attacking Laura Loomer. Yours truly did not. And you know why? Because Laura Loomer's scoops always turn out to be accurate. Always. So anyway, Laura, in spite of all of this, stood by all of her reporting. Again, on July 5th, the White House said the narrative. Now, this is interesting. The narrative was 100% false. So that doesn't mean it's not true. She says, why is the Biden campaign abruptly canceling events today all across the country? Because, as I reported, Joe Biden experienced a medical emergency on Air Force One. They know it's true. They're now racing to cover it up. They even canceled Biden's scheduled events for Sunday in Philadelphia. The American people deserve answers about the Biden medical emergency. So now, Charlie Kirk is reporting. So that was on July 5th, all right? So now let's go back to last Wednesday. Remember I told you that was the last day that anybody in the country saw President Biden in public. And he looked like he was very, very ill and in not a good way. So Kirk says that the official story was that Biden got COVID. However, according to a source, the Secret Service informed Las Vegas police there was an emergency situation involving Joe Biden and to close necessary streets so that Biden could be transported to a university medical center, which they immediately started to do. Then suddenly there was a stand down order, and the Secret Service told Las Vegas PD they were going to medevac the president to Johns Hopkins, which they presumed that they were going to fly him back east ASAP. Apparently, the rumor mill in the police department was that Joe Biden was dying or possibly already dead. Charlie Kirk says, I didn't think too much about this. It seemed too wild to be true, but given that Joe Biden's been out of sight for days and dropped out of the race via X, that he's becoming more curious. And I am too, ladies and gentlemen. So now we know that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert says that we need to have proof of life by 5 o'clock today. What do you think that's all about? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. You think Biden's still alive? We'll be right back.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our national correspondent, Robin Poffman, joins us. And Robin, the reporting from Charlie Kirk, and again, he's getting some intel from inside the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. We have not been able to verify this information, but he said that when Biden was there in Vegas, that there was some sort of a medical emergency, and they were asking the police to block off streets so they could get Biden back to the back to Air Force One. Laura Loomer a couple of weeks ago reported that there had been some sort of a medical emergency on the Air Force One, which the White House firmly rejected. Robin, what's going on here? There are so many different avenues we can take here. What do we need to be paying attention to?
I think that there could have been a medical emergency, Todd. Good afternoon to you and all the listeners. Because did you see how he, if you really zero in on how he looked when he was going up the steps, and then they ran the plane back from, you and I have taken that flight many, many times from Vegas back to the East Coast, and they did it in, what, three and change? It was like 3.5 hours max. So they were really flying Air Force One. I've been told, and it's been pretty widely reported, that flight was supersonic. They were racing back. When Biden gets off the plane, he looks completely out of it. When he's in that van, in the Secret Service, in the black van, the Secret Service agent, it almost looks like they were kind of like positioning his feet like you would lean down for an older person, for your grandma, and, you know, move her feet over. So she, you know, they were trying to position him in the car. He looked out of it. I would not be surprised. I also think, and I was saying this to some people this morning, Todd, that even over this weekend, there could have been some sort of medical emergency. What news has come out from Rehoboth, Delaware? It is eerily quiet.
Nothing at all. And it's just, again, going back to 1968, and this is the only historical reference point we have, when Lyndon Johnson announced that he was suspending his campaign, he would not run, he would not accept the nomination from his party. That was a 40-minute televised address coming from the Oval Office. Here you have a guy, and again, there was no statement on the White House website, nothing at all, just a statement, a PDF that had been posted to his Twitter account.
To me, Todd, the most logical thing that may have happened is, and again, I am guessing, I do not have any medical information, but I have seen people, and perhaps you have too, you ever see someone who has a mini stroke, better known as a TIA, and they can either start talking garbled words, the words are coming out like all jumbled, or they space out for a matter of seconds, and then you don't really know what's going on, but that's the sign of someone having a mini stroke. Maybe that happened, and they didn't, you know, it's very different than someone just, you know, collapsing on the floor from a heart attack, right? So you think about medical scenarios where there wouldn't be a lot of movement, where you wouldn't necessarily call an ambulance straight away, right? To me, and I said this to my husband this morning, I said maybe he had a stroke, maybe he had a mini stroke, maybe they saw, you know, his mouth moving funny, maybe he blanked out, maybe he started talking, you know, garbled. That's the only thing to me that makes sense, because, right, if somebody passes out or falls, the first thing you're going to do is call 911, right? But if somebody is in front of you and they're having a speech issue and people recognize that as a mini stroke, again, known as a TIA, maybe they just said, you know what, we better get him back to the East Coast. He's still upright. He's walking. Again, someone very close to me this happened to, and I've seen this unfold before my eyes. Again, I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying it's on the list of possibilities.
It's all very strange. Kamala Harris coming out just a little while ago, speaking for the very first time from the White House. Again, not President Biden, Kamala Harris. Let's play Cut 30, please.
Good to be here with so many leaders, including, of course, members of Congress, members of our administration, and our extraordinary athletes. Our President Joe Biden wanted to be here today. He is feeling much better and recovering fast, and he looks forward to getting back on the road. And I wanted to say a few words about our president. Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already, yes, you may clap. In one term, he has already surpassed the legacy of most presidents who have served two terms in office. And I first came to know President Biden through his son, Beau. We worked together as attorneys general in our states. And back then, Beau would often tell me stories about his dad. He would talk about the kind of father and the kind of man that Joe Biden is.
All right, Robin, that came from Kamala Harris just a little while ago. And they're telling us she's going to be the presumptive nominee. Vivek Ramaswamy says, hold everything, not so fast.
Again, the cackle and the weird, oh, yeah, you can clap now. And she just doesn't have it. You know, if she was a Republican, I would say the same thing. This is a person who just does not have what it takes. It was amusing to me. I was watching, you know, Britt Hume over on the Fox over the weekend, and he literally said, and I'm quoting Britt Hume here, he literally said, Todd, that there are many people in this country that just think that she's a moron, that she's an idiot, and that she just doesn't have the intellectual capacity. I don't know. I've never been around her. She's one of the politicians I've never interviewed. I've never worked in California, so I never had a chance to interview this person. So I don't know, and I hate to make a judgment from afar, just from what I see on TV. But her appeal is, let's just say, extremely limited, and I'm being kind.
Yeah, no, she's a dingbat. I get it. And later on, we're going to play some of Kamala's greatest hits here. I am curious, though. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy says it's going to be Michelle Obama. They're just holding off until the convention to make that happen. Joe Manchin came out yesterday and seemed to suggest he was going to run, but then said, yeah, I'm done here. And I suspect that what we're going to see, Robin, anybody who opposes Kamala Harris gets labeled as a racist.
Yeah, there's that's, you know, the obvious that's going on. I think that if they do put Michelle Obama up there, you know, it'll be with Gavin Newsom, because they have a really light team on there on the bench. I have to point this out, Todd. I know we have very limited time, but I have been spending the last hour and a half of my life that I will never get back watching this Secret Service hearing. I know you've been on the air. It is unbelievable that I'm just going to say this. Donald Trump was a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Every Secret Service agent in our country is a sitting duck as long as this woman is in charge of the Secret Service. Democrats and Republicans alike have gone after her and have said she needs to resign. Nancy Mace, South Carolina, fabulous, went after her. Turner from Ohio. I mean, she has no answers to any of the questions. Says she won't have a report for 60 days. Todd, the election is in, what, 106 days?
Yeah.
How are you not going to have a report in 60 days?
I want to play some audio here. And also, this is getting really weird. The Secret Service director saying refusing to say if there was only one gunman involved. Let's listen.
Your agency has a no-fail mission, and on Saturday, July 13th, your agency spectacularly failed. The failure resulted in the death of Corey Comprador and serious injury to two other rally attendees, David Dutch and James Copenhaver, besides the injuries to President Trump. It is unfathomable that a 20-year-old on the radar of Secret Service and local law enforcement before President Trump went on stage was able to climb onto the roof of a building with a rifle and fire off multiple rounds before he was neutralized. Was Mr. Crooks acting alone?
Again, I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
Robin, what does that tell you?
That tells me that, as you and I have been talking about in recent days, that more than one person is involved in this. I want to add to that, that not only is it possible that there was more than one gunman, the scariest thing I heard was about, we knew about the explosives that he had with a possible detonator that were in a van that was parked nearby. They also came out at this hearing from one of the senators, one of the congressmen, excuse me, that said that there was an explosive that was also, they believe, placed by this guy near a gas main line. So the amount of people that potentially could have been killed by this assassin slash domestic terrorist is unbelievable to me. And you have somebody up there, the head of the Secret Service, who's not taking accountability and is deferring everything to an FBI investigation. I don't know anybody that trusts the FBI anymore, right? And so she's deferring everything to the FBI, and oh, by the way, we won't have a report for 60 days.
It's unacceptable. And we had Senator Ron Johnson on Fox over the weekend telling Maria Bartiromo that there are reports that there was a second shooter, and also this weird guy, this mystery guy in a gray suit showed up on the rooftop and made them
right.
Send photos to the ATF. I mean, that's just weird stuff.
That's weird. I also want to know about, you know, so we've got all these different factors. Another one of my big questions is, what about these three accounts overseas that are connected to this kid? Was he gaming with, you know, people in foreign countries? What about the Iran threat? You know, that they want to get Trump because of Soleimani, because he took out Soleimani. What did the Secret Service know about that? What was done about that? That came up at the hearing today. There are no answers, Todd. She did say that, oh, they increased the security for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay. Yeah, we changed the security plan of the RNC in Milwaukee. Oh, okay. But it doesn't address this incident, and I maintain that nobody is safe. It is so scary when we see these Biden-Harris appointees in the federal government. It scares the daylights out of me and should scare the daylights out of all Americans.
Well, since we're knee-deep in conspiracy stuff today, Robin, I don't believe in coincidences. And what's interesting is that the media, the mainstream media, by and large, is not talking about what really is the most important issue right now, which is the Secret Service investigation. That's been shoved aside, so everybody's talking about Kamala Harris.
It's scary. This morning, after I got done doing some work for some other entities, I was changing channels, watching Fox, watching MSNBC, watching CNN to see where the focus was, just like what you're saying. You and I think exactly alike. And they're talking about David Plouffe, who had him on, the guy who ran Obama in 08, and all these other characters and historians, and isn't this historic that Biden, and all the boo-hoo from Chris Coons, Delaware Democrat crying that Biden stepped down. I mean, you talk about a bunch of frauds, and you're right. All of this stuff that's truly important, anything that has to do with security, homeland security, is a wide open border, 9/11, potential terrorism, all swept under the carpet by the left wing.
It's insane. Robin, we're going to leave it there. Very intriguing and important days ahead for this country. Right now, we seriously have no idea who's actually running the United States of America. That's where we are now.
And as we'll end as we started, Biden could be ill and they're just not letting him out of the house.
It could be. It could be. All right, Robin, got to leave it there. Appreciate the great reporting. Robin Poffman, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Folks, 901-260-5926. We're going to be getting to your calls today. Trust me. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, I'm going to be filling in again in primetime on Newsmax, Prime News, 8 o'clock Eastern. Congressman Byron Donalds, who was on the committee questioning the Secret Service director, will be my special guest. Also, Roseanne Barr is going to join us. She's got some things to say about Kamala Harris. That's going to be wild. 8 o'clock Eastern. A new Reuters study, by the way, now shows that Newsmax, one of the top news brands in America, millions of people are turning off old media and they're tuning into Newsmax. And now you have a chance to become an owner of Newsmax by purchasing preferred shares pre-IPO. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com to see if you are eligible. Again, NewsmaxInvest.com. You can go online, read all about Newsmax. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is now a news powerhouse, and they are leading a news revolution in America. Again, that website address, folks, NewsmaxInvest.com.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies. There's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right. Here is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, on the Secret Service. Cut 17, please.
A number of members of the Republican Conference have been attacking the Secret Service on gender reasons, blaming the, quote, woke DEI policies for the hiring not just of a female director, but of female Secret Service agents. The Secret Service has called these attacks disparaging and disgusting, saying, quote, it's an insult to the women of our agency to imply that they are unqualified based on gender. I should note some of the loudest defenders of the female Secret Service agents are the members of the Trump family and even the Trump campaign. Not defending Cheadle, but defending the women Secret Service agents. What do you make of your Republican members attacking the Secret Service this way?
I think the response that you've seen was to a video that has been circulated and widely circulated on the Internet and elsewhere, where Director Cheadle said her top priority would be to diversify the workforce in Secret Service. No, ma'am, that is not your top priority. We want the most capable officers, regardless of gender. Their job is protection, not diversity. And I think that was such a frustrating thing for people to see, especially in light of the lapses that took place apparently last weekend. So that's the backlash. There's a lot of frustration. And Jake, it's not just Republicans. It's people across the board who just don't understand why this why these basic tasks could not be taken. Remember, Director Cheadle also said the reason no one was on that roof that day was because of the slant of the roof, and she was worried about the health and safety of her agents. I mean, that makes no sense to us whatsoever. I've got my own security detail through Capitol Police. Those guys would go on a roof that was a 90-degree angle. You know, I don't understand what her responses are initially. They don't make sense to people, and she has a lot to answer for.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Speaker of the House, that was Jake Tapper over on CNN. You know what I find interesting here, folks? Not a single White House reporter is doing any reporting. Not a one. They ought to be knee-deep in all of this. They ought to be exposing what's really going on here, folks. But something is not right, and we are going to get to the bottom of it. All right, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it, from routine checkups to unexpected emergencies. Don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Your agency has a no-fail mission, and on Saturday, July 13th, your agency spectacularly failed. The failure resulted in the death of Corey Comprador and serious injury to two other rally attendees, David Dutch and James Copenhaver, besides the injuries to President Trump. It is unfathomable that a 20-year-old on the radar of Secret Service and local law enforcement before President Trump went on stage was able to climb onto the roof of a building with a rifle and fire off multiple rounds before he was neutralized. Was Mr. Crooks acting alone?
Again, I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
All right. That was Congressman Andy Biggs grilling the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle. Folks, we're not getting any answers out of this, by the way. Welcome to the program. Hour two, 901-260-5926. Do you believe that the gunman acted alone, or do you believe others were involved? That is the question of the hour, 901-260-5926. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs just stepped off or out of that committee room to join us. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you as well.
Congressman, so many questions to ask. Let's start here with the one you just asked, because we're hearing reports from other lawmakers that there are credible reports there was more than one person involved in this attack.
Well, you know, those reports are out there. They may be rumors, they may be conspiracy theories. We simply don't know. But as I pointed out to Ms. Cheadle, as long as you don't want to answer questions, people are going to, you know, ponder. They're going to try to find the answers, because you won't give the answers, and that's really the problem. And you know, we're hearing the reports that there were more people involved. Maybe they just helped him set it up, maybe whatever. But we would like to get the answer, and she doesn't want to give us any answers, Todd.
The idea that we're, what, 9 days out from the attack, and we still don't have any basic information. I mean, she was refusing to provide basic information to you and other committee members. Why do you think that is? Why isn't she answering these questions?
I have my theories. My theory is maybe it is the fact that she hits her 30-year retirement in next year. You know, maybe it could be as simple as that. And she's just trying to drag this thing out. We don't know, because the reality is she keeps saying, I want to give you clear answers, but she'll go out in the media and give more answers than she's given to us in Congress. And those answers aren't so good, right? The sloped roof theory, that's just crazy. It's just amazing to me that this person sits there and doesn't have the moral courage and to do the right thing and, frankly, resign from her position. She needs to go.
Congressman, do you have confidence that President Trump or any of the other, you know, people running for the White House are actually safe with this woman in charge?
I'm not confident of that. I mean, some of the answers today, I mean, here's the thing, Todd. She's a DEI advocate. She's said she wants to get something like 37% of the force to be female, that type of thing. She's not in it really to get the best candidates to protect these individuals, whether they're former President Trump or whether it's Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, President Biden, whoever it is. I am very, very concerned. And you hear it from the questions on both sides of the aisle today. Everybody is like, well, you know, you probably ought to step down. We've got a lot of Democrats suggest the same thing.
Yeah, I was impressed with some of those Democrats, Ro Khanna, one of them, who asked, hey, you know, what happened to the Secret Service chief after Ronald Reagan was nearly killed? Right. And she said, well, he was back on duty. He said, no, he resigned. I thought that was a really compelling back and forth there. So where do we go from here? Because, again, we're not getting much information. I know Senator Ron Johnson was on Fox over the weekend. He talked about some sort of a weird guy in a gray suit on the roof taking photos and sending those to ATF. Do you guys have any intel on that?
I don't. That's news to me. I mean, the reality is Ron's done a great job getting information. He always does. And I have his report. And I just got that this morning. We literally, as we were sitting there, the hearing was starting 5 minutes when we got her report. So I don't have any specific information on the second guy, but we have heard, I mean, like I say, the rumors, reports, however you want to characterize it, that there are other people that might have been providing at least support for this guy. But then don't forget the number of people who saw this guy getting on the roof and you know, using his rangefinder, pointing his gun, being armed. You know, it just defies all logic and the testimony of Ms. Cheadle. I mean, when she says, you know, snipers prefer a sterile rooftop. Well, you know what a sterile rooftop is. It means nobody else is on the rooftop. Well, if you see somebody on a rooftop, that should actually move from maybe a suspicious person to a threat assessment. But in the event, she didn't look at these people. Her people didn't look for these folks. Her people did not actually get over there and say, well, this guy that everybody's yelling about is very, very dangerous. That's the huge problem here, and she's not willing to own it. Mm. She's not willing to own it.
All right. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Andy Biggs, a member of Judiciary and Oversight Committees, one of the lawmakers grilling the Secret Service director. I want to switch gears here, Congressman. And I'm just curious, do we know who is actually running our government right now? Because I don't think it's Joe Biden.
Well, I've said for years it's an oligarchy, and it's the cabinet officials, it's former, you know, Obama officials. But you don't. And this is something that I've put out on social media, and I've actually said something similar to this for quite a long time. Ever since Special Counsel Hur said that we can't prosecute him because he's a feeble old man with a poor memory. Well, if you can't prosecute somebody, and now if he has to withdraw his candidacy, ostensibly for the same reason, he's old, he's feeble, he can't, he's got a poor memory, he can't perform. Well, then how in the world can he continue on as the president of the United States of America, a place that the entire world looks to, including our adversaries, to see what we're going to do? How are we going to lead? You know, you got domestic issues out the wazoo. He can't do it. He should step, if he's going to be so-called patriotic, doing the patriotic thing, he should also step down. And he should take Ms. Cheadle, the Secret Service director, with him.
I'm curious what you're hearing from any Democrats up on Capitol Hill. Are they just as concerned as everybody else that we haven't heard or seen the president since last Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you know, Todd, they don't want to talk about it. I'll just that's what I got to tell you. They don't want to talk about it.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate your good insight today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs, ladies and gentlemen, member of the Judiciary and Oversight Committee. That hearing still underway. Congressman Pat Fallon saying that the Secret Service director needs to go back to guarding Doritos. Is that part of her? Was that part of the snack food brand that she was responsible for? I knew it was the Flaming Hot Cheetos, but I didn't realize Doritos were in the mix. Oh, let's here we go. Here's Congressman Pat Fallon.
It is a miracle President Trump wasn't killed. Corey Campagnatore's life is over because that damn shooter made it on the roof. It wasn't the roof that was dangerous. It was a nut job on top of the roof. You know what else is dangerous? I believe your horrifying ineptitude and your lack of skilled leadership is a disgrace. Your obfuscating today is shameful. And you should be fired immediately and go back to guarding Doritos. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Well, there you go. That's where we are right now. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. So Kamala Harris, this is really freaking out Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi. And I know that everybody's jumping on board the bandwagon, and what, 300,000 black women in America got on a phone call last night, and they're all going to be voting for Kamala. Is it Kamala or Kamala? I always get confused. Here's a little something-something, folks. This is who the Democrats are putting their hopes and dreams in the hands of. Cut number eight.
The largest investment ever to take on the climate crisis. Roughly $1 trillion with a T. I had to. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you. One of the things I love are Venn diagrams.
Oh, Lord.
I love Venn diagrams. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home. The significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time. More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to crick their kids and say, we're not paying them nearly enough. It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree. We all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are the children of the community.
All right. There you go, folks. And I don't know if she's doing drugs. I don't know. I don't know if she's smoking. Where's Ben Dieter? Ben Dieter is helping us out today on the national show. Ben Dieter, the host of the morning show on KWAM, our flagship station. And Dieter, didn't you tell me they named some sort of a marijuana brand after her?
Kamala Kush.
Kamala Kush.
Kamala Kush for president. Mm. I can hear the chants already.
I wonder if she sampled a little bit of the product.
Well, she has to get votes. That's why she went on the Breakfast Club podcast, and that's when she did a whole 180 on. I mean, she used to prosecute people for smoking pot, and then she said she also smoked doobie.
So. She loved putting black men in jail. That was loved her it. Big. That was her big shtick back in California.
Wonder if anybody will. I mean, I bet Trump brings that up because we have to think now it's going to be a Kamala v. Trump debate.
Well, potentially, but they're trying to frame this as prosecutor versus felon, mm-hmm. right? That's how they want to do this. But again, Trump actually predicted this. Remember the undercover video they filmed on the golf course? He's sitting in the cart, and he's giving out the tips, mm-hmm. and he's talking about how, you know, Kamala's going to be the one. So Trump knew what was going down. He knew where all of this was going.
I think that Trump will hold his own, even if he's against this prosecutor, because Kamala, I mean, you've got to look back at the previous debate. She's not great.
No. And
she's better than Biden.
I'm curious, though, if black men are going to vote for Kamala Harris, because Judge Joe Brown, who is a friend of yours, by the way, Judge Joe Brown seems to think that Kamala is, how shall I put this delicately, promiscuous. And the question that a lot of people have, and again, if they're going to keep bringing up Donald Trump's alleged affairs and all this whatnot, will they be addressing the fact that Kamala Harris got her start as Willie Brown's paramour? And specifically, that she started, the allegations are that she started her career on her knees. And it seems to me that would be all fair game. And nobody wants to talk about that, but it is being talked about. As a matter of fact, Morning Schmo, they said, hey, this is the big takeaway here. And trust me on this, folks, this will all, if it really is Kamala, it's going to be about race, but it's not going to be about Kamala. I'll get to that in a moment. Here's Morning Schmo, cut 23.
And I've heard from inside Republican circles and right-wing media that the hate campaign against Kamala Harris has begun. You'll notice they purposefully pronounce her name wrong. They say Kamala. They do it all the time. It is on purpose. But the talk is to start that hate campaign and get it going and start it churning.
So if we say Kamala, is it Kamala or Kamala? Kamala. I forgot now. It doesn't really matter. I'm a white guy, so I'm a racist. That's what they're going to say. But anyway, what's fascinating about all this is her race bona fides. Is she Indian American or African American? You can't be both. You really can't. And her father, her mother, by the way, is Indian, right? So the father is from Jamaica, but he's like part Irish. So she's got a little bit of white in her somewhere down the line. And also, her ancestors owned plantations in Jamaica, and they actually had slaves. So Kamala Harris is the descendant of slaveholders. I'm not sure how that's going to go down in Dixie. I'm not sure that the good black folk in Mississippi are going to want to elect the descendant of a slaveholder to the White House. Maybe they will. I don't know. Let's go to Tim in Orange City, North Carolina. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Tim in Moorhead City. You know where that's at, I know. The talk station.
Oh, Moorhead City. Moorhead City. A great town. Great town. Yes.
Fish and shrimp. Yeah, buddy. I told the screener I just wanted to kind of reassert my little spot here because if you recall about, 8-9 months ago, I called in and we had a good laugh about Kamala or Kamala. You know, she doesn't care what you call her as long as you invite her to the ganja party.
That's true.
You know, I'm just saying that long-term smoking of the weed, man, it'll kind of whack you out and make you too mellow all the time.
You're right about that, Tim, and it's a fair point.
They told us that in high school, you know. They told us. Anyway,
in health class.
One more thing, and I'll quit. But listen, on our shooter, and multiple shooters, I had doubts about 2 days in or so, if this young man shot at all. I'll just leave it there. I think he was a big time patsy in all this. It's just a thought. Can't prove nothing.
It could be. And when you look at the trajectory of all the bullets that were fired, it just seems to me, and I don't know, we'll try to get Tom Gresham, our gun expert, on to talk about this. It just seems to me, Tim, that some of those shots could not have been fired from that specific location. Again, people wondering, were there shots fired from the water tower? There appeared to be some sort of a person up there. We don't know who that individual is, but I'm telling you this right now. There was a, we'll play some audio a little bit later. There's a couple of guys in the hood and they're offering their services to President Trump. I'll leave it at that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, here we go. Nancy Pelosi has now endorsed Kamala Harris. So Nancy Pelosi going all in, and it could be over. We're still waiting for Barack Obama to weigh in. Just be watching this. If Obama does not weigh in, if Obama does not endorse Kamala Harris, that means his wife is going to be the nominee. That's where we're at right now. But they're making, and I think one of the things they're looking at is they got something like $40 million in donations yesterday. That's a huge number. But the question is whether or not she can actually campaign effectively. They're thinking that Kamala is going to attract the Ute vote. All those kids out there smoking the doobies, they think that Kamala is going to be their savior. Oh, cut number 20, please.
Anna, thank you, guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine, too.
All right.
Have Chris Cuomo got a little something to say to us. By the way, Kamala could very well win the day based on her grasp of foreign policy. Cut number 19, please.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right. So at some point, we do have to ask exactly what is she good at? And what position is that? Because clearly she did not get to where she is based on her brain. I'll just leave it there. But something is not right. But anyway, if she's going to be the gal, the question is who becomes the VP? CNN, do we have all right. So CNN weighed in. They've been looking at white guys, and so they got Gaffney Gifford's husband out in Arizona. I don't think so. They've got Andy Beshear in Kentucky, and he may be a possibility. Also, they're talking about Josh Shapiro, who was the governor of Pennsylvania, and they got to have Pennsylvania. So here's what's interesting about this. CNN pointed out that Josh Shapiro would not be a good running mate because he's Jewish. Cut 22.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket. But certainly some of our voters here in Pennsylvania said, hey, we like Governor Shapiro. Give him a look.
Oh, my God. It's the anti-Semitism. They just embrace it. Yeah, we can't have a Jew on the ticket. That wouldn't go over well in some circles. Can't do that. Sorry. We got any atheist out there? There you go. All right, so we'll see how all that plays out. But again, the breaking news, Nancy Pelosi now endorsing Kamala Harris. Oh, can we play this audio? You know, I didn't. Sometimes, and Ben Dieter, you're a big TikTok person. You've got the TikTok account and everything. It's very clever. My question, though, is for someone on TikTok, you never know when someone's actually being serious, right? Because you have a lot of people doing satire and parody bits. So you never know if somebody's really, really, you know, crazy as they appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy that we're about to play, first of all, I think he's a dude. If not, she needs to get a lady bit because she's got the chin fuzz.
See, I was looking at that too, but Todd.
The peach fuzz.
The person, because I don't know if it's a guy or a chick, had black nail polish.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with a lot.
So I had to go back through. This is how much I care for our audience, because I never want to share something with the audience that turns out to be not real or just a parody without telling people that it's a parody. So I had to go back through and watch all of this person's TikTok feed, and I need therapy today. Mm-hmm. I need counseling. It was that bad. So anyway, this, and the dude's well-rounded. He's one of those plus-size people, obese people. And he's, is that a fair assessment?
Pronouns fluffy.
Portly.
That's what he says in his profile.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
His pronoun is fluffy?
Fluffy.
Oh, so I think he identifies as a cat. I think there's some of that going on there.
Wow, you really did do a deep dive.
Oh, yeah, I did a deep dive in it. This guy's freaky. But anyway, he's a huge Biden guy, kind of like that, what's that, Harry dude, Harry Sisson?
Correct.
Yeah, and so anyway, like, it's really creepy. Like, this, you know, even though, you know, look, even though I'm not a big Biden fan, those are the kinds of people you want to let the Secret Service know, hey, keep an eye on those guys. Just keep an eye. Anyway, this guy is really upset that Joe Biden dropped out. And I want you to hear, because this is how some of the liberals are actually taking this news. Cut 21.
He dropped out! He dropped out! Joe Biden, please! Gen Z, we need to band together! Please! He was for Gen Z's first president!
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Wow. He really took it hard. Is that true? He's your Gen Z? He's your first president? No, that can't be right. Anyway, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, Poppins giving me a blow-by-blow. She's monitoring the hearing. MTG just asked if there was a stand-down order and a conspiracy to kill Donald Trump. See, this is why I love MTG. She just gets right to the point. And it is a great question to ask, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's the point. What would you like to ask? You're in the hearing room. What would you like to ask of the Secret Service director? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Eric in Salem, Oregon. Hi, Eric. What say you?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Talk to you. Thank you. Hey, so I just wanted to chime in real quick. I really feel this whole thing has been set up right from the get-go by the Democrats. I think getting Biden to do this debate before even the convention, where he's actually nominated as the official nominee. And because it's all been the ploy all along to get him in, so that he would look bad. Kamala would step in as the presumed replacement, so they don't end up losing Ohio, because they need time to get the candidate on the ballot there. But I also believe that after the convention's over, within the first, I think it's like within the first 3 weeks or something like that, they have the ability to remove that candidate. And according to their bylaws, if they remove that candidate, they have to be replaced with somebody of the same sexual orientation and the same political affiliation, which leaves the door wide open for them to pull Kamala out and put in either Michelle or Gretchen Whitmer or somebody like that.
Well, I don't think there's any law. There's not a rule that it has to be a person of the same gender.
It actually is. It's in the, I'll try to find the document again, but it's in the, their 2024 DNC rules. That's not a law. It's a rule in their rule book.
Okay. Well, you're breaking national news here if that's the case, because nobody else is reporting that.
Yeah, I'll find it again, and I'll shoot it to you in an email. I apologize. I don't have it right with me. I'm driving down the road, but it's something that's been kind of weighing on me here for the last, the last few months anyway, that I can kind of see this happening.
So the DNC Rules Committee meets to approve a tentative plan to start voting on August 1st. The plan would not be formally announced until the Credentials Committee meeting. So there's a bit of chaos right now within the Democrat circles. Basically, what they're doing is they're subverting the will, the absolute will and the vote in the Democrat primaries and the caucus. And there's a lot of concern because of this virtual roll call. There is an August 7th deadline to get on the ballot in Ohio, and that's because Ohio changed its law. So there's a lot of shenanigans going on. Delegates are, at the time, and this is just a few days ago, we're pleading for more time and to have an actual floor vote and not this virtual vote that they're about to do. So if you're a Democrat, you have every right to be enraged right now, enraged over how all of this is going down, because they are literally, and there are a lot of people out there that just do not believe that Kamala Harris is going to be capable of going up against Donald Trump. I mean, that's just the way it is. Eric, got to run. Appreciate that call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I told you about the guys in the hood that were offering up their services to President Biden, and, or President Trump, rather. And, Dylan, we did clean up this. Okay, because it got a little bit of salty there. Anyway, I think this may be a terrific idea. Cut 16, please.
Say, President Trump, my president, the United States president, you know who I'm talking to. This can even go to Trump Jr. Hey, if you're going to continue to do these debates in these states or in these little cities, and you want some proper protection, this is just a suggestion. This is just my opinion, bro. Because you have a lot of people out there that love you. A lot, right? And it's obvious that the CIA and all these alphabet agencies don't like you. They don't want nothing to do with you. They don't want to protect you. They don't want nothing. So here's my suggestion to you, Mr. Trump, Mr. President, even Trump Jr., if you get this to your father, huh? Go to the hood, go get you about 30 to 40, maybe 50 of them ghetto, excuse my French, I don't care if they white, black, right? And on the day before, you give them mugs a particular color to wear to protect you, I promise you, that won't ever happen again. Now listen to what I'm saying. If you decide to continue to do this, and you go out here on these little stages and do all this other stuff, you go straight to the hood, man. Go get you 40 to 50 of them cats standing around on the blocks, on the corners. And you had them protect you. Because I guarantee you, that would have never happened. Because as paranoid as the cats in the hood are, that dude would have never got up on that roof. I promise you. Don't let these people protect you because they didn't want you out there in office in the first place. So you know what? Just a little bit of advice from a little brother from the hood. If you ever come to Washington State, you want somebody up there, man, with you to protect you, give me a call, man. Hit me up on TikTok, bro. I'll be more than happy to stand up there for you.
I think this is a brilliant idea, and I hope the president does hit him up on TikTok. I think it's a great idea. By the way, if you're down south, I can guarantee you a bunch of fellas driving pickup trucks with gun racks more than happy to provide protection for Donald J. Trump. And I suspect a bunch of bikers out there, too. Let's go to the phones real quick here. 901-260-5926, Memphis, Tennessee. A dark horse. All right. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have thoughts on the shooting. I've shot probably 10,000 rounds in my military career of 5.56 NATO. And I'm just going to tell you all and everybody, there's no way he was by himself. It's highly unlikely.
What makes you say that? What makes you say that?
Just because of the nature of the shot and the fact that he was under duress, people were shouting at him. I'm not even sure if he even ever got a shot off. It wouldn't surprise me. The ability to get up on top of a roof and make that shot, it takes practice. And that does not line up with the suspect and his background. So somebody else was there. There's all kinds of video. The important thing is now is just for everybody to ignore all the conclusions and everybody's narratives and just use the raw data that is in front of us, which is video, unedited, unfiltered.
You know, Dark Horse, I find it shocking that the gunman was able to get a drone up there. I think Don Trump Jr. said he's not even allowed to put a drone up himself over at Mar-a-Lago when his dad is in that building. And yet the Secret Service did not even conduct drone surveillance of the area. Does that sound odd or unusual to you?
It sounds extremely unusual. There's no way anybody would be able to get in any elevated position without that position being covered.
I don't believe in coincidences, and all of this is connected. What's happening with Biden right now, the coup that's being staged within the Democrat Party, Biden out of the way. They wanted Trump out of the way, and Dark Horse, this is important for people to remember. The original plan was for Donald Trump to be sentenced in early July to prison, so he wasn't even supposed to be a factor here. So the fact that all of that got moved to September, it just really makes you wonder who's pulling the strings here, because it looks like they're going after both political parties right now, whoever that is.
Well, as a country, we need to start thinking about our party system and the fact that we don't really have Democrats, Republicans anymore. We have a uniparty, and then we have everybody else. So whether or not you were the conservative persuasion before or liberal, it doesn't matter. We've got an establishment, and they have shown that they will do anything to include firing and hitting.
I've got about 10 seconds here, Dark Horse. MTG asked, was there a conspiracy to kill Trump? What do you think?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dark Horse, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Dark Horse, calling from Memphis, Tennessee, says he believes there was a conspiracy to kill Trump. What say you? 901-260-5926. All right, folks, coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be hosting Prime News on Newsmax. Congressman Byron Donalds will join us. Also, Roseanne Barr, among many other guests today, as we go through some of the big stories of the day, including this insane hearing right now up on Capitol Hill. The Secret Service is clamping down. They're shutting up. They're not giving any information at all. leading many people to speculate. And you just heard from one of our listeners in Memphis, Tennessee, who said based on his knowledge, his experience, that there's no way the 20-year-old gunman on the slope roof could have made the shot he made. And that may be the case. My issue here is why there was no security perimeter around that building, even though it was 150 yards away from Donald Trump. Makes absolutely no sense. All right, coming up, we have new audio from President Trump. Also going back to this incredible rally the president had in Michigan, up 7 points over the Democrats, by the way. Hang tight. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. The hearing, Secret Service hearings, still underway. Up on Capitol Hill. A very simple question for you. To believe this was just gross incompetence across the board because of all these DEI hires, or do you believe this was some sort of a coordinated effort to take out Donald Trump? That seems to be the question that a lot of lawmakers are asking today. Nobody's getting an answer. As a matter of fact, MTG asked if there was a stand-down order given. And was there a conspiracy to kill Donald Trump? No answers to these questions. They won't. The Secret Service won't even address the questions about a second shooter. And it seems to me that if you're the Secret Service, and by the way, we're over a week out now, 9 days since the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and we still have zero information on the record from the Secret Service. Now, the least the Secret Service could do is to come out and say, you know what? We believe there was one shooter. It was this 20-year-old. He got lucky shots off and, you know, shame on us. Or they could come out and say, you know what? We've heard these reports that there may have been more than one shooter. We are looking into all of these reports, but right now we don't have any concrete information. But they're not even saying that. And that leads me to believe that there may be something to these reports that there was a second person there, maybe even more, but none of this makes any sense. How is it that this 20-year-old was able to get a drone and pop that drone up in the air just hours before Trump's rally, and nobody said anything, nobody noticed anything? How is it the Secret Service members were not a part of that 9 a.m. security briefing the day of the rally? Again, no answers. So, ladies and gentlemen, my question is very simple. Do you have any confidence in all that the Secret Service can protect Donald Trump? I mean, you've got the guy from the hood saying that he'd be happy to get a bunch of the guys in the hood, the guys who sit around on the sidewalks in front of the convenience stores. He said they'd be more than happy to lend a helping hand. I guarantee you we've got a lot of folks down here in Dixie with pickup trucks and gun racks that would be more than happy to protect the president. And I think they would do a heck of a better job. Heck, you know what? Get a bunch of grandmas, a bunch of pistol-packing grandmas out there. I think they could do a fine job. But, you know, it's interesting when you step back and you look at what could have been, and there were explosives found, and it appears that the gunman was trying to, or was the plan was, to blow up some sort of another device outside of the area where the rally was, and also to explode a gas line. But what I found fascinating, and President, I believe it was President, no, who was that? There was somebody at the RNC brought up this interesting point. It may have been President Trump, but it may have been somebody else. They said, did you notice that the crowd never moved, right? I mean, clearly they were ducking for cover when the gunfire was, but there wasn't some sort of a mass rush of people out of the area. It's because conservatives were cut from a different cloth. Right. There was a lot of love in that and I want to get, you know, I don't want to get syrupy here, but there was a lot of love at that rally, and people were concerned. I mean, as soon as the gunfire started, that's when people jumped into action. They were trying to get help to the people who had been shot. Other people were trying to help out law enforcement by pointing out where the shots were coming from. I mean, people stayed. There wasn't some sort of a mass rush or exodus. People wanted to help. But had there been, God forbid, had there been, and that guy would have exploded that device, we would have been talking about mass carnage. So you're telling me that a 20-year-old kid, who was a bad shot, by the way, at least that's what the shooting club people tell us, you're telling me that a guy like that was able to circumvent all of the security there, was able to get up on the roof, was able to get those shots off, was able to, I don't know, you know, plant these devices, create the bombs, all of that, a guy who basically works at a little, you know, old folks home. You're telling me that's the guy that did that. I'm just not buying it. I think there were more people involved in this. And it's a fair question to ask, did the Secret Service stand down? And why does this person still have a job? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Here is Director Cheadle, Cut 24.
My name is Kimberly Cheadle, and I'm the Director of the United States Secret Service. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today. The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump on July 13th is the most significant operational failure of the Secret Service in decades. And I am keeping him and his family in my thoughts.
All right. I think that's cold comfort right now. Let's go to Amy in Newport News, Virginia. Hi, Amy. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to make a comment about, I think there's always been a plan to assassinate President Trump because of all the violence that's been going on. It's very scary. It scares me to even wear a hat out in public with Trump on it because I'm afraid that I may get attacked. And I do believe that they had planned to do something. And the assassination attempt a couple of weeks ago proves it because they don't want to come out and give answers about what happened.
Right, Amy. Isn't that strange? Because you would think some of the basic stuff, just again, to stop the, you know, conspiracy theories. That, you know what, guys? We've looked into all of these reports out there. There was only one shooter. Or you know what? We've heard the reports and that shadow you saw up on the water tower, it was some sort of an anomaly or so. But they're not doing any of that.
No, they're not. And I also heard there was a window open in another building that may have a shooter from there, from the building that was like kind of behind and beside the building the shooter was on. And there was an open window over there. And they're saying there may have been a shooter from there. And I've been watching on TV where they demonstrate where the gunshots came from and the sounds. And it didn't all come from that young boy's gun. It came from other guns.
Well, again, and when you look at the crime scene on the rooftop, I didn't see any spent cartridges. I didn't see any of that. So the question is, was he actually able to get a shot off? That's the question that's been out there. And if not him, was there somebody else? But again, when you look at the trajectory of the bullets that were aimed at Trump, it was pretty clear they came from that rooftop. So I don't know. I don't know, Amy. A lot of unknown questions. And what's happening today up on Capitol Hill is not helping. This is just pouring gasoline on the fire.
Yes, it is. And the more and more she gets circles around her answers and she doesn't give answers, it just makes more conspiracy out there and it gets more people upset and they should take the blame for it all the way. Stop blaming everybody else and blame that woman because they did not have top security protecting our president.
Understand this, and Amy, I appreciate that call, and you give us a holler back because I like the questions you're asking. But I want you to understand something here, folks. If if this had gone off as planned, Donald Trump would have been assassinated and Joe Biden would have been put out of his misery. So the question we need to be asking ourselves is who wanted both of the top candidates for the White House out of the picture? Who is running the show? Is it Barack Hussein Obama or is it somebody else? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Mistakes were made. They were monitoring this guy for an hour beforehand. No one told you not to take the stage?
No, nobody mentioned it. Nobody said there was a problem. And I would have waited for 15. They could have said, let's wait for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, something. Nobody said, I think that was a mistake. How did somebody get on that roof? And why wasn't he reported? Because people saw that he was on the roof. I mean, you had Trumpers screaming. The woman in the red shirt, she was screaming, there's a man on the roof. And then other people said, there's a man on the roof who's got a gun. And that was quite a bit before I walked onto the stage. So you would have thought somebody would have done something about it.
Oh, you certainly would have, but nobody did. Let's go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Michael Cloud out of Texas, just stepping out of the committee meeting. He serves on House Oversight. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Well, good to be with you.
So what's your take so far on what we're hearing? I'm getting text messages from people saying this is the most unbelievable hearing they have seen in years.
Yeah, it is quite remarkable and not in a good way. She has distributed, or I should say demonstrated, an amazing lack of curiosity when it comes to the basic details of the case. Simple things like why wasn't the roof covered and why wasn't it included in the perimeter? You know, those would be, if I was in her position, you would be so embarrassed and angry about it, you would be calling to find out those answers right away. And instead, well, we're going to wait for the report and I can't say anything yet. And you're getting that question over and over and over on some of the very basic details. I understand some of the more nuanced details you're trying to get the right information on, but some of the very basic things not even able to answer is very, very troubling at this point.
Any answers to the reports that there were that the gunman had three encrypted offshore accounts?
I've heard those reports. We're still trying to get information from it, and you know she would probably say that has to do with the FBI. So hopefully we'll find out more information about that on Wednesday when I believe it's Wednesday that the judiciary will meet with the FBI to discuss their investigation. And hopefully they'll be more forthcoming than this. But this has been pretty tragic for something that was an absolute complete failure. And you're seeing bipartisan calls for her to resign, which is it's good, but she should just step down.
Well, we need to get answers, though. That's the issue. And you know, again, sure. Andy Biggs was on just a little while ago. He asked whether there was more than one gunman. She wouldn't even answer that question. And I've heard those reports. There are concerns that there was maybe a second gunman or someone else involved.
I've heard those reports as well. Again, these are answers that we would certainly like to hear, America would like to hear. And, you know, the simple fact that she's investigating her own failure is troubling. And whatever the results are will add a certain bit of suspicion for the American people, which this is a time where we need absolute clarity, absolute transparency. We need to know that what we're hearing is authentic and genuine. And, you know, when you're investigating your own major lapse, I don't see how we could get that on behalf of the American people. So it's troubling. I mean,
go ahead, Congressman.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I had asked her, you know, something. I was surprised at her answer. I had asked her if she approved the plans for the event. And she said, oh, I don't approve plans for any event, which was surprising to me. I'm like, not even for the president ever? Big, huge event. And then I asked, well, who is responsible for that? And she could not give me an answer of a position or an individual who signed off on the plan. Basically, it's like there's this cabal that kind of talks about it. And again, this is one of those areas, and I've seen this in agency after agency after agency, where you have these what I call, they're supposed to be layers of accountability and become layers of plausible deniability, because you can't tie down and hold any one individual responsible, because they're like, well, it was kind of the collective, you know? And it's just, the American people want to see accountability. They want to see these agencies, and especially in a situation like this, when you have a failure, a catastrophic failure of the duty, you need to see someone held responsible for it.
Congressman Michael Cloud joining us from Texas today, serving on the House Oversight Committee. Congressman, you know, the other big story we're following, the whereabouts of Joe Biden. He has not been seen in public since Wednesday, and he looked like he was in a very, very serious, fragile medical state then. What are you hearing up on Capitol Hill?
You know, what we're hearing is basically that he was still recovering from COVID, frustrated that he was being forced to deal with his own stepping down from his candidacy, resignation from his candidacy as well. You know, we had heard kind of, you know, this is unofficial buzz heading into, while we were at convention, we heard that an announcement was likely coming Sunday, which is what happened. But we, along with that rumor, was that he wouldn't endorse anyone, and that would leave open, you know, leave room for a broker convention, I guess, which I'm not sure if that's why we haven't didn't immediately see endorsements from others or not, or if that was just a rumor. But it certainly is interesting to see what's happening over there. I hope he does get well soon, obviously. But
do you think, you know, he's still alive?
At play.
Do you think he's still alive?
I would think the thought that he hadn't crossed my mind. I would think so. But you know, even then, you still leaves the question for the American people, who's really running the country.
Well, and that is a question that must be addressed. I would like to think that if push comes to shove, the House would cut off the purse strings. You know, and again, this goes to the Secret Service. If they're not going to answer questions, cut off the purse strings. Let's just shut it all down until we get the answers. You know, this is not just, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop. This is, we're talking about the nation, the United States of America. And I think our country's in a precarious spot right now, Congressman.
Yeah, very much so. We have really two things we can do as Congress to bring accountability. And one is to have investigations, which ideally we would hand over to a DOJ that wasn't corrupt. But the other thing we can do is the purse strings. And I have to tell you, it's been frustrating to see us continue to send money to this administration to do bad things. We know they're going to misuse the funds, and yet we've even had a hard time just holding the line at flat level funding, much less getting savings for the American people in a way that would cause these bureaucracies, which have grown 30% just in the couple years of COVID, to bring them into check. But you're absolutely right. We've got to manage the purse strings. And if we're ever going to expect them to take us seriously from a congressional oversight perspective.
All right. We got to leave it there, Congressman. Appreciate the intel. Appreciate you coming off the floor to talk with us. Again, Congressman Michael Cloud. By the way, Speaker Johnson is out there now saying, oh, yeah, we have known for a long time now that Biden's mind was not there. So if that's the case, why is it that Speaker Johnson signed off on these billions and trillions of dollars of spending? Makes no sense. All right, hang tight. We're going right to the phones. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, Laura Loomer now reporting that the FAA has issued a flight restriction over Wilmington, Delaware. The flight restriction is for VIP movement. We'll keep you updated as we learn more developments there. I will say this, Laura Loomer has been absolutely correct in all of her reporting thus far. I know people love to hate on Laura, but she's been spot on accurate. So good job, Laura Loomer. All right, let's go to the phone lines. As promised, 901-260-5926. We're going to start with John in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our flagship station there. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, John. I really enjoy your show. Look, I just want to say the Secret Service lady's opening statement says it all. Our failure to protect President Trump or what she was saying is they failed to assassinate him. If you play that, if you could play that beginning statement again.
Yeah, we can do that. Hold on here. That's cut number 24.
My name is Kimberly Cheadle, and I'm the director of the United States Secret Service. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today. The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump on July 13th is the most significant operational failure of the Secret Service in decades.
Okay,
and
stop
I am
there.
Keeping him.
Stop there. Okay, John, there you go.
Yeah. What she is saying, they failed to assassinate President Trump. We all know what's going on. We all know that they're trying to kill President Trump. It's for reasons unknown to me. I mean, I have reasons, but I'm not sure what, you know, I don't want to go into that. But I'm just saying, she just said it all there. Her words. She failed to assassinate President Trump. Those are her words. That's what she is saying to the American people. So wake up, people. We're going to come for you next. And that's really all I got to say. And I really enjoy your show,
John, good. Well, John, thank you very much. I really appreciate that, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Daniel in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Daniel. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. So I was your first caller a week ago after the shooting, and as I said back then, I really feel the Secret Service is complicit in this because I said the kid that was on the roof was the patsy. I truly believe there's one or two other marksmen who were further back who took the shots at Trump. And he, the kid on the roof, was just the setup. And, you know, this is why it explains why those bullets whizzed by Trump and just missed him when other bullets were spraying the crowd. And then one other thing, if you notice, if you go back to the video at the shooting, there's a woman that is to the right of Trump. When everything starts going to pieces, everyone's ducking there except her. She's wearing dark sunglasses and a white kerchief. It turns out she was identified as the assistant director to the FBI.
Not true, Daniel. Nope, Daniel, I got to stop you there. That's been investigated, and that has been debunked. So that person is not who you just said she is.
Okay, all right. I was just going on with something I had read, but I'm glad you're on top of it. But as far as being on top of things, something like this, they should have all the answers for us right now. And they don't. I mean, if this is the one shooter and he's a local kid and everyone around him knows him, they should have every single answer from Sunday about this kid. And they're not coming out with, you know, answers to the questions that need to be answered. So it, to me, it seems like this is a cover-up. The Secret Service is complicit. And like the previous caller, they were trying to take out Trump, and she's apologizing for their failure to do so.
Look, she was right out of the gate. She said this is, quote, the most significant operational failure of the Secret Service in decades. Boom, you're fired. You're gone. Goodbye. Out of here. Right?
She should be gone. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think President Biden should demand some answers from her. We need to hear from Biden. You know, put her in front of him and have her answer questions to him because she has to answer to the boss. And he's the boss. And if we want to get to the bottom of it, you know, let's have it aired out in, you know, a broadcast in public where he interviews her and get to the bottom of things. The public wants to know. We have a right to know. This stinks to high heaven.
Yes, it does. And Daniel, I'm not too sure we're going to be hearing from Biden anytime soon, to be honest with you.
I hear you. Yeah.
All right. Daniel, appreciate that call and good intel. And folks, just, and again, there's so much information coming out. The big problem here is Secret Service, they're not answering any questions, which leads a lot of people just to kind of, you know, speculate. And so we try to work through a lot of this information. I get a lot of messages. How come you're not talking about this? How come you're not talking about that? Everybody. Well, the reason why is we want to be able to verify that information for you so that we're operating with some knowledge of, okay, yes, this happened. No, that did not happen. We just want to make sure you guys are equipped with all of the right intel. That's all. All right, let's go to Atwood, Tennessee. Ted is listening to us on WTJS, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, hello, Todd Starnes. I just wanted to make a brief comment on the Joseph Biden Presidential Library.
Yes.
I think that that was part of the bribe to get him to step down is some of his donors, because it's not taxpayer funded. It's from private donations. And I really don't think Joe's going to need a very large place, because if you can list all of his greatest accomplishments were the emptying of prisons in Central America, and I think you could put that on a Post-it note and stick it inside a phone booth, and that should be sufficient.
The nation's tiniest presidential library.
There you go.
I like that. I think that's a brilliant idea, Ted. Well done. Thank you for calling in, Ted. And by the way, yesterday I had a great time. As a matter of fact, Ben Dieter, you and I both were a guest at the Congressman David Kostoff's big annual cookout, and the had over 500 people there. It was in Denmark, Tennessee, way out in the country.
And Todd told me, quote, "I think I want to move to the country." He's done being a city boy, and he's going to be a farmer.
I'm going to get some cows and get some chickens.
We almost actually, in the span of 5 minutes, hit a Bambi. I think it was a Bambi. Two baby raccoons, and I think I saw a porcupine. It was wild.
Are porcupines indigenous to Tennessee? I don't think they are. That could have been just a possum.
We're used to bullets flying on the interstate. It was a different scene.
It's true, but fortunately we dodged all the wildlife, all the critters out there. But anyway, had a great time. We got to meet so many of our listeners from WTJS, and they came. The congressman, his team were so very kind, asked me to come up and say a few words, which I did. They had some killer barbecue. That was amazing barbecue. Live music, of course. You know they played Rocky Top, so it was a great event. And all that to say, it was great to meet so many of our WTJS listeners. That is, of course, Frankie Lack's territory. So we missed Frankie last night. I wonder if he probably had other plans. He's a very popular guy in those areas. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. Going right back to the phone lines, we are monitoring the hearing. Secret Service Director, it is a complete disaster. And a lot more questions than answers. That's where we're at right now. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, don't forget, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'll be filling in on Newsmax, hosting Prime News, 8 o'clock, Congressman Byron Donalds. Our first guest right out of the gate. Also, Roseanne Barr has a few things to say about Kamala Harris. That ought to be interesting. And no doubt, Dieter, I'm going to get myself in trouble today. No doubt about it. It's going to be a wild night on Newsmax. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to Orlando, WDUN in Georgia. Hi, Orlando.
Hey, Todd, it's nice to talk to you again. I had a few things to say, and I'll let you go. Everything is going to do, it's a big mess out there, Todd. I'm in a loss of words. It's one of the reasons why I haven't called so much, but I will definitely tell you that I look at the best interests of everyone in the world, and I think that everyone's making the right choice on being with Donald Trump.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No doubt about it, Orlando. I hate to do this, but I got to skedaddle. But thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio from Donald Trump talking about Joe Biden and his health. Let's listen.
You'd investigate the people that hid Joe Biden's condition?
Well, I think somebody has to look at it. Look, you had people that lied to the American public. And I tell you what, you ought to take a look at his doctors, because his doctors keep giving him this wonderful report. I'm not a doctor, but I saw him the other day, was unable to get up the children's stairs going Air Force One.
Is it a coup against Joe Biden?
Sort of, yeah.
I think it is. I mean, look, there's a constitutional process, the 25th Amendment. If Joe Biden can't run for president, he can't serve as president. And if they want to take him down because he's mentally incapable of serving, invoke the 25th Amendment. You don't get to sort of do this in the most politically beneficial way for Democrats. If it's an actual problem, they should take care of it in the appropriate way.
All right, there you go. By the way, I just throwing this out as an observation. When you're the vice presidential running mate, you don't interrupt the top dog. You know, it was kind of an awkward interview, only because you've got the two of them there with Waters doing the whole Q&A stuff. But you don't interrupt the president. And also, JD was trying to make news for himself there. So you got to. That'll come along, and he'll get his legs under him. But I'm just telling you right now. Anyway, that's that. But I do think that when you look at what's happening here, you do have to ask yourself: was there, in fact, a coup? Is that what really happened here? In the meantime, the CNN folks are having newsgasms all over the place. It's very disgusting. This is CNN reporter at Laura Coates, Cut 28.
Let me ask you one more question. I'm struck just in your presence. I was watching you on stage, watching the reactions from the crowd, mm-hmm. looking you in the eye with your passion that you were displaying and talking about so many issues.
Oh, yes.
And yet you hear candidates suggesting that a vote for President Biden because of his age is somehow a vote for you. And that is hurled as an insult. It's intended to demonstrate some negative viewpoint towards you. What is your reaction to this thought that with your background in particular, with your career, that there is some thought that you are incapable?
Well, I think that most women who have risen in their profession, who are leaders in their profession, have had similar experiences. Mm. I was the first woman to be elected district attorney. I was the first woman to be elected attorney general in the state of California. And I'm the first woman to be vice president.
You know, it's interesting. Just the choice of words there. And by the way, CNN folks, get a room. Really? Nobody wants to see that, right? Come on national television. Jeez, hello. Anyway, it's interesting, her choice of words there, and I don't know if you caught it, but she said she was talking about those women who have risen, which implies that she was, I don't know, kneeling or in a kneeling-type position somewhere in her career. I don't know. But, I mean, these are her words, not mine. So. Oh, by the way, I got to go back to this this rally over the over the weekend in Michigan. It was unbelievable. They said some 20,000 people were inside the arena in Grand Rapids. I was anchoring the coverage for Newsmax, and Trump, there were thousands of people there, even thousands outside the arena trying to get in. Trump was just having an amazing moment. He said something that I thought was truly remarkable about this whole idea that he is a threat to democracy. Cut three.
They keep saying he's a threat to democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy? Last week, I took a bullet for democracy.
You sure did. I am telling you, that is the line right there. That's the line. The president also was having a lot of fun. And he was having a bad hair day. Right? Sort of a self-admitted bad hair day. Cut number four.
You know, I have to just interject. If you would turn off those cameras, because I don't want this. See the screen up there of me? That's very severe, that comb over. That's a severe sucker. What's with that one? It looks okay from the other side. But that is very severe. I apologize. Man.
And I looked up there. I said, whoa. Look at that. Wow. That's like a work of art.
You're a handsome man, Mr. President, and you have good hair. Enjoy it. All right. Oh, Zuckerberg. Oh, we've got to play this audio for Mark Zuckerberg. I think this is fascinating. Now, I want you to listen very closely to what Zuckerberg's had to say here. Cut 12.
I've done some stuff personally in the past. I'm not planning on doing that this time. And that includes, you know, not endorsing either of the candidates. Now, look, I mean, there's obviously a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. I mean, the historic events over the last, like, over the weekend. And, I mean, on a personal note, it's, you know, I mean, seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face and pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in my life. But look, I mean, it's, you know, as, and I think, look, it's, at some level, as an American, it's like, hard to not get kind of emotional about that spirit and that fight. And I think that that's why a lot of people like the guy.
Yeah. I was, first of all, wow. Okay. I was a little surprised by that. But I think Zuckerberg, you know, he's a millennial guy. And I think I think a lot of guys in that age demographic, they see that and they're like, whoa, that really is pretty impressive thing here. He called it badass and it was. But what I was fascinated by was that Zuckerberg is not backing the Democrats here. So whatever he did to help the Democrats get the edge in the last couple of elections, not going to happen this go around. At least, well, now this was before Kamala stepped into the ring. So we don't know. That may change, but I don't think so. Because when you look at Kamala Harris, I mean, everybody thinks a couple of things. And one of them is she is a dingbat. I mean, she's a ditzy broad, Kamala Harris is. And I can't even imagine. All right, real quick here, cut number six.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, there you go. This is what we've got to work with, folks. The Democrats, the presumptive nominee, Kamala Harris, and our great president with an awesome comb-over, Donald J. Trump. It's going to be one heck of a fall. All right, everybody, got to take a break for the rest of the day. You will see me tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Newsmax. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com for breaking news. Be good, America.